welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. Good morning. My guest today is Dr. Walden Rhines. As you probably know, Wally is the CEO of Cornami and also one of my favorite semiconductor historians. Good morning, Wally. Welcome back.
Good morning, Daniel. Glad to be here.
Listen, you had another announcement I want to talk to you about, and I appreciate your time here. So first of all, where does the name Cornami come from? People keep asking me.
So Cornami is named for a tsunami of cores, that is compute cores. And it's named that because the architecture we've created puts thousands of compute cores on a single chip and then lets you put them together in arrays to form a compute fabric. And the basic secret sauce is the compiler technology that lets all these cores operate in parallel and achieve performance that's scalable with the number of cores or the number of chips.
That's a great name. So Wally, I read again about you guys that Applied Ventures, which is the VC arm of Applied Materials, a company I know quite well, has made a strategic investment in Cornami. And I want to read the quote because it kind of says it all, but and then I can get your comments about it. But so, you know, according to Applied Ventures, it is clear that data privacy is critical for extracting the full analytical potential from valuable data assets. The benefit from these intelligent insights and the ability to securely collaborate across organizational and jurisdictional boundaries is vital to growth, including long-term trusted relationships with customers and partners. These insights better align products, services, and business practices, delivering profitable growth in competitive markets while reducing costs. We look forward to working with the Cornami team in leveraging their scaled TrueSteam compute technology to deliver real-time computing for FHE and other data-driven products and services. So, Wally, give us some color here. What's really behind this investment?
Well, it's part of a major wave of information sharing change that's going on in manufacturing technology in general, as well as in other areas. We're seeing it in a wide variety of applications, and the trust has long been a barrier to data sharing between equipment suppliers and users. In my history in the semiconductor industry, we were always reluctant to allow our equipment suppliers to monitor our manufacturing equipment in operation. We suspected that these equipment companies were the weak link in security and that our innovations in process technology would be spread to our competitors if we allowed the vendors access to our machines and the critical data that controlled our processes. We knew that the equipment vendors could help us improve performance of our manufacturing operations, but it just wasn't worth the likelihood that information would leak to our competitors. Now, during the three years I worked for Siemens after their acquisition of Mentor Graphics, I found that this lack of data sharing was not restricted to the semiconductor industry. It's typical of all manufacturing operations.
Yeah, you know, I've experienced the same, so I understand what you're saying. But what's changed? If that distrust existed in the past, which it certainly did, doesn't it still exist today?
Well, it does, but it's a barrier to achieving improved manufacturing results. Just imagine, what if you could share your manufacturing data with confidence that no one, including your equipment suppliers, would ever see the data? What if equipment suppliers could monitor every one of the pieces of equipment they've sold and collect the data to build expert systems for predictive maintenance and yield improvement? What if your equipment supplier could run expert machine learning algorithms on your manufacturing sensor data and tell you how to improve your results without ever being able to see or record your data? These things aren't going to happen until users of equipment become confident that data sharing will not compromise their proprietary information. Fully homomorphic encryption, or FHE as it's referred to, offers the possibility of making this capability a reality.
Oh, got it. So if advances like this could be made, why haven't people already adopted FHE and made this possible? You know, why are we still doing things the same way we've been doing, you know, for years?
Well, it's just not that easy. Most internet security is questionable. Hacking of server centers occurs regularly. All sorts of bad parties can inject Trojans into operating systems or even into chips. Within the next 5 years, quantum computers are likely to be able to break most of the existing security on the internet. We need a much more powerful type of data protection. Now, FHE provides that protection, but it comes at a price. FHE is a highly complex encryption that doesn't appear to be breakable. But the mathematics are so complex that computing operations on FHE data takes millions of times as much computation as the equivalent computing on unencrypted data. If we're going to encrypt sensor data on manufacturing equipment and then analyze the encrypted data for yield improvement, we would need computers that are about a million times as powerful as the best Intel or NVIDIA servers of today.
Wow. Yeah. So what's going to give the users confidence that the equipment suppliers can't access the confidential data? I mean, that's the billion-dollar question, right?
Well, and that's the great part about FHE. The owner of the data encrypts it themselves. Only the owner has a key to decrypt the data. All the computation is performed upon the data while it remains encrypted. The data is never exposed. No one sees the plain text data except the owner, who has the only key. And the owner is also the only one who can decrypt the results of the analysis, since everything stays encrypted. Users can be confident their data and the results of computation on their data will remain secure and available only to them.
Got it. So who's doing this, Wally?
Well, FHE is actually becoming very popular. Companies like IBM offer services to help their customers take advantage of homomorphic encryption, and there are many other companies that offer homomorphic encryption services for data security. Examples include small companies like Duality and Cosmium, Infer, Envail, Zama, and others, and all of these applications are limited by performance. Computation is very slow, but Microsoft introduced a product called Election Guard that was used by many precincts in the 2020 election to tally votes securely, and it worked well. Performance was not a problem because complex arithmetic calculations are not required. You only have to do addition for voting, and that can be done at reasonable performance levels.
Wally, what you're saying is the last election wasn't rigged?
I don't get involved in that discussion. I just want to say there are techniques to protect the integrity of voting, and they will become more pervasive with time.
So the next election won't be rigged. I got it. So what if performance wasn't an issue? Are there examples to show that data sharing would cause a major change in productivity or yield or safety or other factors?
Well, there is an analogous example, and that comes from the airline industry, where safety trumps all other considerations. Like many others, I was surprised when the transponders on the Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 that was flying from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing stopped transmitting several years ago. And for hours after that, the plane continued to communicate because the aircraft engines continuously send out data that's monitored by the engine manufacturers. Companies like Pratt & Whitney, GE, Rolls-Royce, and others provide engine monitoring services as part of their maintenance contracts with the airlines. A single 12-hour flight generates terabytes of data that's used to identify potential engine problems. And since the engines of one manufacturer end up on planes belonging to many different airlines, only the manufacturer has access to all the data from a particular type of engine. That manufacturer can use the data to build machine learning models to identify the need for corrective maintenance, improper operation, fuel inefficiency, and countless additional factors. Safety is so important to the airlines that if they wanted to, engine manufacturers could practically give away the engines for free and just charge for the monitoring maintenance because the airlines have to maintain that service. Now, let's suppose that all manufacturing equipment could be monitored in the same way. Machine learning models could be constructed from voluminous data. Owners of manufacturing machinery could be advised when maintenance is required or when an equipment is not performing as well as it might. Best practices could be instituted for use of the equipment. And this would benefit the users and the producers of the manufacturing equipment. And best of all, manufacturing equipment makers could transition from a very volatile revenue model that fluctuates as the market changes during recessions or due to other factors to a much higher percentage of renewable revenue from annual maintenance contracts.
Yeah, point well taken about Flight 370. I'm a pilot, and my pilot buddies and I, we tried to solve that case a long time. But you're right. There's more information was available from the actual engines and equipment than the communications equipment. So anyway, when is this transition likely to occur, if ever, actually?
Well, several things do have to happen. First, people have to develop a level of trust in fully homomorphic encryption. Its unique, unhackable character and the confidence that no one but the owner can see the plain text data. Second, homomorphic encryption technology has to advance to a level where all computation can be performed at reasonable speeds without decrypting the data. And third, equipment manufacturers have to begin test programs with customers to demonstrate the benefit.
And so, how are you guys making this all happen?
Well, our job is to remove the performance barrier. We've developed a computer architecture that can perform computation on encrypted data at the same speeds as computation is done today on unencrypted data. We'll be introducing servers and embedded processors in the not-too-distant future to demonstrate that capability. The next steps will be performed by our customers. The benefits are great enough that this should happen rapidly after the basic technology is available.
So, what about the semiconductor industry? What are things going to look like after these changes occur?
Well, as far as semiconductor manufacturing goes, things can be very different. Maybe equipment suppliers will just rent the manufacturing equipment to their customers, or maybe they'll give it away and charge for the maintenance. Well, whatever happens, there'll be an enormous increase in productivity of manufacturing operations. And it won't just be productivity. It'll involve enhancements in safety, in environmental friendliness, and capabilities that weren't thought possible before. And I should add that this is not just manufacturing. Think about people with personal medical data. If we could put all that data together and build diagnostic models from thousands of people, great insights could be obtained in machine learning models or in neural networks, but people are reluctant to give up their data. But if they knew their data would stay encrypted at all times, then they wouldn't be so reluctant. And that's just one more example, like the manufacturing equipment, that can change the way we share information. It can make information more valuable, and it can give us great insights into what the information can tell us and how it can improve our operations or make our lives better or more efficient or generate good business opportunities as well.
Yeah, I've been following your technology for a while, and this is a nice case study, Wally. This actually makes it very clear of the importance of this technology, and I'm sure you have other case studies in process, and I hope to have you back again to share more. But this great case study. I get it now, and I wish you the greatest of success. So this is a good time to stop. Thanks again, Wally, for your time, and thank you everybody for tuning in, and we'll hope to see you next time on the Semiconductor Insiders podcast.
Thank you, Dan.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.